It is me. It's been Nick Jinkashi. Jinkashi Kisha te talk Jintothraki. Mia Jin Nick episode ma tik prepare aka tavoahid. Kisha tik adar units, tactics, aka art ki athravijar. Ay. Podcast a Jin sponsored ki totinos. Okay, so I hope everyone is staying safe and enjoying their quarantine. It has been quite a while since I have been able to record an episode, and that is due to some international displacement, as I currently find myself kind of stuck up here in the great city of Vancouver in the country of Canada, as the borders closed shortly after I arrived. So that's been a fun situation going on, but it has not really impacted too much as far as like the world of A Song in Ice and Fire. I guess I can view myself as now being north of the wall. But you didn't come here to hear me talk about that current situation. We are here today, as I previously mentioned, to talk about the Dothraki. Today we are going to have a focus on speaking about the core units in the starter box, as well as their tactics cards. We're not going to get into speaking about the specific commanders that we have today, or the NCUs. We're going to talk about just the three units that come in the starter box, the Screamers, the Outriders, and the Veterans, as well as the Unsullied Swordmasters. They're going to get wrapped up into this episode. And then we're also going to talk about their generic tactics cards. We're going to save each of the commanders and each of the character attachments and NCUs for kind of their own thing. So we'll be splitting this into two episodes, the units plus starter box units, plus the Swordmasters, the generic attachments, and we'll be saving the characters for episode part two on this. So let's go ahead and talk about the Dothraki playstyle. First thing I want to say is that I have opened this in Dothraki. We have talked about a bunch of Dothraki, and this is not the Dothraki faction. This is the Targaryen faction. That's the first thing I want to kind of get people into the mindset here, is that while you can play a full Dothraki army, and that is going to be one of the predominant playstyles, because this is, you know, that playstyle is very heavy cavalry, the starter box has its focus on that, that is not the overall army, because the forces of House Targaryen are so much more than that. Just they happen to have a lot of Dothraki guys, and that happens to be the focus of the starter box. But as you can see, we're already getting Unsullied out here, and actually I almost considered wrapping up the Stormcrow mercenaries into this conversation as well, because from a fluff and narrative perspective, they were a major force of House Targaryen, which in this case is synonymous with, you know, Daenerys. They are a part of the neutral faction, so they kind of deserve their own talk. But I do want to address them very slightly later on when we get into things. But we're going to have a focus here on kind of just the starter box and some of the initial House Targaryen units. So there's a couple of ways that you can end up playing House Targaryen, but right now it is again going to be centraled around the cavalry that come in the starter box. But that's not the only thing that the faction has going for it, and we're going to talk about supplementing that as we get further into things. So let's start and look at the generic tactics deck available to the factions. That's going to really give us our playstyle feel that we have here. The first card that comes in the deck is going to be Overrun. When a friendly combat unit destroys an enemy with a melee attack, instead of maneuvering, that unit may pivot and then make a free charge action. If you control the maneuver zone, it gains +2 to its charge distance roll. So this is going to be the first kind of fitting into the Dothraki and House Targaryen playstyle that you're going to see here. This is a very aggressive faction. Now, we have aggressive factions in the past. There's certain builds of Nightwatch that you can build that are aggressive, Free Folk, and Starks, by in general, are an aggressive faction. You're going to see those themes come up here, but the Dothraki are very much of the aggressive variety, that they want to come up and they want to just hit you as hard as they can and not necessarily have prolonged engagements. They have units that allow them to do so, but these guys are going to be a lot about positioning yourself for the strike, coming in there and just really hurting the opponent on that initial swing. I don't want to really consider them an alpha strike army because they have a lot of extra tricks beyond that, depending on your commander. But that's definitely going to be one of your main things, is that you're going to want to play with a lot of mobility that you have. You're going to want to play with a lot of the fact that you will hit guys very hard on the initial charge and engagement. One of the initial preliminary things about looking at their tactics cards and their units is that the House Targaryen cards, the generic cards, are going to give you a lot of nasty abilities, and you're going to find their units, by and by, don't have necessarily a huge amount of just innately built-in things. They can be considered fairly vanilla, and that's actually because they gain a lot of their abilities from tactics cards of different varieties. It's actually something built into their tactics deck if you look. You'll see that they have a focus on the maneuver zone. They have 1, 2, 3, 4 cards of their 7 that focus on maneuver. Now, if you look at most other tactics decks, you're going to see that most decks are split between 2 of the tactics board zones, usually with a 4-3 split. With the House Targaryen cards, their core deck only has maneuver cards. This is different than the Free Folk, who exclusively focus on that zone. What you're going to see with a lot of the House Targaryen commanders is that they're going to centralize themselves into a secondary zone. So like with, let's just say like Grey Worm, for example, he has a focus on combat zones, whereas Khal Drogo has a focus on extra maneuverability and Dothraki keywords and things like that. If you look at, for example, Dario Naharis, his commander version has a focus on the wealth zone. Now, that normally plays into the neutrals, but it also factors into their role in House Targaryen. Basically, a lot of the commanders that you're dealing with House Targaryen are going to subside your army into determining where it's going to go on the tactics board. So, you know, if you have a Commander Grey Worm or a Commander Barristan Selmy, they're going to focus on different secondary zones in addition to that maneuver zone. So that's something that you're going to see more of the Hero Box, which should be coming out fairly soon. But again, I kind of want to save that for its own thing, and I've already just immediately sidetracked in talking about the tactics since we're going down them one by one. So let's get back to that. We have Overrun as your first card here, but this is, again, such a good example of the two things that Targaryens do well, and that's kill things and then really use that forward momentum to keep going. So here you have one of the, you know, my favorite cards in the game. It allows you to, when you destroy a unit, to push forward and attack another unit. If you control the maneuver zone, you're going to get +2 to your charge distance roll, which is going to give you that extra little bit of distance and stopgap that you would usually need. It's overall just, you know, it's a very, I don't want to say basic card, but it's a very easy to execute card, and it just kind of, you know, it's powerful. The next card you have is Hit and Run. After a friendly combat unit completes a melee attack, that unit would make a free retreat action and immediately counts as rolling a 6 for its their retreat distance. If you control maneuver, any enemy they disengage from also becomes weakened. This is going to, again, play into the whole kind of reverse alpha strike mentality that the Targaryens have. You're going to be your strongest when you're going in for the charge and we're going in for the kill. This is going to allow you to avoid getting stuck into heavy engagements and is going to allow you to choose, you know, how you approach combats a little bit better. Noting that the majority of your core box is made up of cavalry. So after you, you know, get an attack in there, you can just pull yourself back and then, you know, hopefully disposition the enemy. So you get a free retreat action with this card. So, and you count as a rolling a 6. With most of your cavalry, you have a baseline movement of 6, which means you're going to put yourself 12 inches away from the guy you attacked. Most infantry aren't even going to be able to reach you after that point. But something else to consider with this card is that's if you're just retreating backwards. If you retreat to a flank, you might be a little closer, but they're still going to have to roll fairly high to get you. But more importantly, they're then going to have to make that choice of, are they going to turn to, you know, keep you out of their flank? Or are they going to expose their flank for you to re-engage later? So this is going to create another positioning card for you. It's going to give you a little bit of token play as well, where if you control the maneuver zone, they become weakened. That's a secondary effect just to kind of ensure your own survival. But I really do consider that like a drastic secondary effect. The primary effect of this card is just so powerful that you already have that going for you. And that's something else to note here, is that you're going to have a lot of the Targaryens that have just a very high base speed, either because they're cavalry or they just innately have that. When you have the Unsullied Swordmasters, they have a base movement of 6. So here, they're moving and retreating just as fast as cavalry are with this. You're able to position yourself out of charge range of most every other melee unit in the game. And this is before you factor in terrain, which is something I think a lot of people overlook. You know, you retreat back into some rough terrain or to some hindering terrain or something, you know, you can really punish the opponent for coming after you. And this whole thing is about very surgical, you know, getting some very precise surgical strikes in. You can't play this faction by just randomly charging into whatever's in front of you. You have to be smart about it. And this is one of those tools that's going to help you. Now, speaking about being smart, your next card you have is Unstoppable Advance. Played at the start of a friendly turn, you attach this card to a friendly combat unit until the end of the round. While attached, this unit gains +1 speed, ignores the dangerous, hindering, and rough terrain keywords, and cannot suffer disorderly charges. Again, another fantastic card to make sure that you get where you want to go. As I just said, the majority of your units that you have available are speed 6. This is going to make them speed 7 and just flat out ignore any of the nasty terrain effects that would come after you, and then you're going to be able to ignore disorderly charges, which is the one thing that can kind of like hurt you a bit when you need to play your cards to get those extra effects or get your orders in or things like that. And keeping a note that this lasts until the end of the round. So you play it at the start of a turn, you claim the maneuver zone, the unit's going to get that +1 speed. Or, you know, when they're doing their free maneuver or their retreat action, or when they're doing their hit and run like we just talked about, it stays there until the end of the round. So I've seen a lot of people that they kind of ignore that little fact and they just play this, you know, you've got to think a couple steps ahead like everything in the game. But you can really get some extra mileage out of that +1 movement if you really just think and set things up. The +1 movement is great. The ignoring the terrain is nice, which is something you should be really playing heavily into. But I really think the not being able to suffer disorderly charges, even though it is a 1 in 6 chance, is something a lot of people take for granted because they hurt so much when they happen. And this is just going to allow you to completely bypass that. Next card you have is going to be Swift Retreat, which is essentially going to be the sister card to Hit and Run. This is after a friendly combat unit is attacked with melee. That unit may melee make a free retreat action. If you control the maneuver zone, one enemy they disengage from suffers D3 wounds. So you've got two cards here with Hit and Run and Swift Retreat that allow you to disengage on various criteria, depending on the situation. But the important theme that is being established here is that you choose your engagements, you choose your positioning. And that is a core element of the House Targaryen playstyle. And even more important, if you're going for a Dothraki horde, because you're going to have the extra cavalry bits, but we'll talk about that more when we talk about units. So, again, Swift Retreat is your sister card to Hit and Run. A lot of the same effects kind of apply here. After a friendly combat unit is attacked with melee, you get to make a free retreat action. Okay, so you're going to suffer your casualties, you're going to pull back, but then the trade-off for that is that you're going to be able to charge back into them and gain your full charge bonuses. Seeing as how a lot of your units are cavalry, that also means that you're going to have to suffer 6 wounds to be reduced down a rank versus the standard 4 wounds that a lot of other units have. The ability here to deal wounds when you leave via the maneuver zone, that's always nice as well, depending on what you're up against. D3 wounds might not seem like a lot, but every little bit helps when you are going to attack something. And this can absolutely wreck things that are like solo models or things that are reliant or have a small number of wounds, which you'll see more of those things kind of appearing and whatnot. But people already know the value of dealing straight wounds. So that's a little extra bonus there. I do consider it just a small bonus in the long run of things. But that is because you have just such a fantastic effect tied into the primary effect of this card. Because being able to retreat means that you can reposition yourself in the same way that I just talked about Hit and Run. You can move into a flank, and that's going to force the opponent to have to make that choice. Do they pivot the unit to come after you to keep that flank, or do they expose that flank? And hitting someone in the side there, being able to charge in, getting your charge rerolls, getting the -1 for defense saves, getting the -1 to the panic test, on top of whatever innate abilities you might have from attachments, such as sundering or things like that, you know, it can really stack up. So again, while your core units, while their stats might not seem like the most impressive, you have so many positioning things and other bonuses that you can stack up. That's what you really need to pay attention to. And that's really a mindset focus that you need to have when you're playing House Targaryen, is that there's a lot of little hidden bonuses that you're going to be able to get and achieve if you play things correctly. Versus some other factions like Night's Watch, they will just have like bonuses built into their units. Like, okay, this unit very clearly has critical blow. It very clearly has sundering. It doesn't really need to, you know, get into a flank to do some things. Versus Targaryens, you don't have so many built-in abilities. You have a lot of positioning and hidden things that are going to give you bonuses, such as flanks, such as rears, such as being able to maneuver, such as terrain, things of that nature. I want to talk on this very briefly here, but that also gives you a natural built-in kind of immunity to any effects that would remove abilities, which I want to say there aren't that many in the game when you look at the grand scheme of things. I know some people are absolutely going to go, what are you talking about? There's tons. It's really limited to just a couple units or cards per faction and some neutral options. But by and by, a lot of your units that you're going to see in House Targaryen are kind of immune to a lot of that because a lot of their power is coming from other synergies and other things rather than just being a raw, a kind of a stat dump or an ability dump on a unit. Moving on, we have Fire and Blood. When a friendly combat unit successfully charges, choose one. This attack gains precision. Hits from rolls of 6 don't allow defense saves. Or the attack gains vicious. Defenders suffer minus 2 their panic test. If you control maneuver, gain both instead. So this is what I talked about previously when I had said that a lot of their abilities are going to come from tactics cards and outside sources rather than built into the unit. What this does is it gives you a natural kind of buffer here that is going to prevent those abilities from being taken from you. So just to give a rules, recap here. If a unit loses all their abilities, that does not include things from tactics cards, outside sources, or anything that is not physically printed on a unit, or in some cases their attachment card as well. Again, you've got to check what's exactly removing the abilities. But either way, the abilities that are coming from a tactics card usually cannot be removed. There's a couple things that can, and again, they will specifically and expressly call them out. But like if you have a blanket effect that says unit loses all abilities, that's not going to affect anything from a tactics card. So that means this unit is free to gain vicious, it's free to gain precision, and if you control maneuver, you're going to gain both. But really, the thing about this card is that you have the versatility to play this down on the engagement, on the combat that you need to play it down on. So if an ability is baked into a unit, okay, I've got vicious built in. That's great for that unit, but this is giving you the ability to have vicious army-wide. Or precision army-wide. So if you have any unit can take advantage of this. So you can send like if you're up against a unit that's got a 3+ defense save that you really need to hammer through. Well, usually if you were playing another army, you'd go like, okay, I've got Sundering, I can send them after that to try to deal with that. Here, you have the option to just throw down precision on any one of your units that you want to send after them and have them take care of that problem. So that is something to consider is that the versatility cards like this give you. Next card we have is Fury of the Dragon. When you claim a zone of the tactics board, replace that zone's effect with one friendly combat unit may make one free maneuver or retreat action. Until the end of the round, each time a friendly combat unit successfully charges, the defender becomes panicked or vulnerable. Your choice. This is a very powerful effect if you play it smart. First off, you're going to gain essentially the maneuver zone effect of, being able to retreat or maneuver. So again, we're getting back to the whole choose and pick your engagements here. Really, you're going to need to become friends with the retreat action and setting up plays when you're playing House Targaryen, outside of certain play styles. But frankly, that's just a general like tactic that you are going to want to master because your positioning game is important here. And being able to choose your engagements, when to re-engage, when to leave, and playing to your objectives is very paramount here. You can't afford to get stuck into a lot of combats. You can't afford to get tied down. You need to be free like the wind. But Fury of the Dragon here, you're also going to gain the secondary effect of until the end of the round, every time you charge, the defender is going to become panicked or vulnerable, depending on what you need. They've got heavy armor, make them vulnerable. They've got a bad morale, make them panicked. Or, reverse that that's how you want to play. I'm more so for pushing on the weaknesses. But this gets us back to your cards, Hit and Run, Swift Retreat, Overrun. You have three other cards in your baseline deck that are going to give you extra abilities to maneuver out of combat and set yourself up for additional charges. So if you play this card early in the round, to say you get a free retreat. Okay, now you set yourself up so every time you charge in the round, you're going to get, extra conditions placed on the enemy. So you slam into someone in the flank and they are vulnerable as well. So they're getting minus one to their defense save, minus one to their panic test, and then you can choose to make them vulnerable or panic depending on what they are. You're going to deal that unit some damage. The thing is that when you are generally playing House Targaryen, you need to not rush things. And this is something that it takes a bunch of plays if you're not already like in this mentality. I will say that House Targaryen for me is a personally a harder faction to play because I really like charging and I really like killing things. I like charging in and getting into sustained combats, and that is not how you can play when it comes to House Targaryen. You're really good and you're gonna feel powerful on those initial hits. But if you don't set them up properly, and you just kind of engage, and you expect to just like, okay, I'm engaged now, I'll just finish them off. That's going to lead to you losing games. The thing is that you might view this army as like, oh, I'm a big hammer. You're not. You're actually a surgical scalpel, even though you are a giant screaming horde of death. It's just that you're a scalpel wielding giant, horde of death. In the fact that you need to pick your engagements. You might be playing a bunch of horse riding savages from across the sea, but you need to be playing them smart. You can't just, rush and kill whatever's in front of you, even though you might be really compelled to do so. Don't let the bloodlust overtake you. And that's a problem that I personally have when I play a lot of when I play this army, is that, again, you just get caught up and just, I can charge, I can go and kill. But you really need to take a step back and go, I am way faster and more maneuverable than damn near every other army out there. Can I wait around and just set up some plays and then just come in like, a storm and just destroy everything in front of me if I wait around? Usually, yes. Remember, the game is not about beating your opponent in the shortest amount of rounds. It's about winning the game within 6 rounds. That's the time you have. If your games are ending on an average between rounds 3 and 4, it means you probably had about 2 more rounds that you could have positioned yourself around and actually set up some plays. And if that means sacrificing, a round so your opponent gets a couple victory points, that's fine as long as you don't let them run away. Again, you need to think the long-term war here, not the short-term. And the game is also not about, like, oh crap, my opponent in round 3 had 4 victory points and I didn't have any. That might seem bad, but if you spent those rounds setting it up, so all of a sudden on round, 5 and 6, you're going to sweep in there and just destroy them entirely without mercy, without counter play, then yeah, it was worth it because guess what? In the end, you won. Didn't matter if, they pulled ahead in the early game. So that is another mindset thing to get into when you're playing Targaryens, is that you're in this for the long war. I mean, you've got the speed that you can get in there and you can force early engagements, and sometimes that is the correct answer. But a lot of the times, usually just think, this is the one sentence that will help you really kind of master your mindset when it comes to playing this army. What happens if I wait around? With that, let's take a look at the last card in the deck, Blood of the Dragon. When a friendly combat unit successfully charges, attach this card to the unit until the end of the round. While attached, this unit automatically passes all panic tests and can never become panicked. So this card right here is I saved for last to talk about because it kind of goes against a lot of the standard Targaryen stuff that I was dealing with. Namely, in the fact that you want to pick your engagements and you don't want to have prolonged fights, and that is true. But sometimes that's going to happen. Sometimes you can't control it, and sometimes the unit is going to get engaged. This is going to help you with a little bit of sustain, and namely, it's the fact that it's going to help your guys just automatically not suffer any damage from panic throughout the round. This is a card that has a lot of various uses and is stronger against some armies than others, but it's never not going to be useful. Even if your opponent is never focusing on your morale, is never focusing on dealing damage via panic or anything like that, this is going to help you out there just by the nature of how attacks work. So that's something to consider here, and it's another card that is going to factor into, when you charge, but it doesn't really play the same as the others because this is a defensive card. This is just going to help you, have a unit that survives that much longer. Now, usually morale is not going to be a huge problem for Targaryens when it comes to their baseline units, but this can help with secondary units that you bring in via the neutral faction. And I'm going to talk about that more in a bit, so I don't want to harp on get into that topic there immediately. But so if we look at the generic tactics cards that you have access to, you're going to hopefully see this picture like forming here, where you have your maneuverability, you have a strong focus on charging, you've got a lot of strong effects that are just built into this play style here. But you have to be smart about them. You have to know, like, okay, you need to set things up. You need to, get everything into position, and when you're ready to strike, you hit them as hard as you can, and they're probably not going to survive it, assuming that you did things properly. So, the Targaryens are a bit more finessey than some of the other factions on release. Well, actually, I'm sorry, not even release, in general. Because it's really about controlling your aggression. You have the tools to get in there and really hurt something. But you will play a lot more efficiently and you'll play a lot better if you just get that mindset of what happens if I wait around? What happens if I spend just a little more time setting up? Because you have the maneuverability, you have the tricks here and everything to really make some, like, just, all-star game-changing plays. But if you get wrapped up in the moment, then you can just throw it all away. And that's really the number one thing to take away when looking at the generic tactics for the Dothraki and the House Targaryen as a whole. Now, as I said before, individual commanders drastically change how things are going to operate because they are going to have a very heavy impact on your kind of secondary playstyle. But the notes that I talked about here are going to be the overarching things for when you're playing House Targaryen. So those are the things to keep in mind. If you want to specialize more, they have a very big wealth of commanders that are going to have different focuses on how those actually perform. So let's now take some time to look at the combat units that are available specifically to House Targaryen. And then at the very end, we're going to talk about some of the neutral options very briefly, because again, that could really be its own thing. And I'm actually considering I'll probably break that up into its own podcast episode about incorporating neutrals into House Targaryen. Because I will say that compared to most any other faction, they probably make the best use of incorporating in neutrals, just because of the different aspects and options that are available to not only their commanders, but also what the neutrals can bring in. So let's talk about the units available specifically to House Targaryen. The first one, which is like, let's say, like their iconic, like, standard unit, is going to be the Dothraki Screamers. Coming at 6 points, we have a cavalry option with speed 6, 3 plus to hit in melee, a 7-5 attack profile, no special abilities on the attack, nothing out, no abilities outside the cavalry rule, and then a 5 plus save and a 6 plus morale. So looking across the board here, we have a decent attack profile, 3 plus to hit, 7-5. Nothing really to write home about there. It's strictly in the average category. Your defense is a 5 plus, which is not great. Your morale is a 6 plus, which is on the high end of average. Your speed, though, and the fact that you're cavalry and the fact that there's 6 points are what's really bringing these guys to the forefront. And this is one of those units that you can look at and go like, well, there's nothing there that's really impressive. And that is theoretically true. But the thing to factor in is that cavalry alone makes a really big difference. Speed 6 cavalry makes a really big difference. These guys can cover up to 18 inches in a single turn when they activate. And this is before you play any other secondary cards on them to increase any of those values. Let's say Unstoppable Advance gets played on these guys and boosts them up to speed 7, and now they're ignoring terrain, disorderly charges. Okay, if you throw an Unstoppable Advance on these guys, they're moving 7 inches with their free cavalry maneuver, and then they can potentially march up to an additional 14 inches. These guys can move theoretically 21 inches across the board in a single activation. That's not playing anything else other than a single tactics card and letting them move. Even without that, they can still cover 18 inches. Most other factions have no means of actually moving that fast, or to do so, have to invest points into an NCU effect or another influence or even or tactics cards or attachments or things like that. There are other ways they can do it, but you just have it built in right there. So that's something to consider. These guys here hitting in the flank. I mean, if you're hitting someone in the flank, most units, you're not going to need built-in sundering for that because you're already going to hurt them enough right there. But the fact that you're going to be able to get in there, hit them, hit and run back out, or get a swift advance or any of those things, on what is a Hey guys, sorry about that. We had a bit of a technical blip that just happened right there with the audio. It just cut out and while I was talking and kind of threw me off there a bit, but we are back. That should all be fixed up, so we're gonna hopefully pick up from where I was just finishing up talking about the Dothraki Screamers. So when talking about this unit, you do have a couple of attachment options available to it in the Screamer Co. and the Outrider Co. So if you stick a Screamer Co. on these guys for 1 point, they're going to gain the ability to have Sundering on their charge attacks. And then if you stick an Outrider Co., they're going to have the ability Mark Target in order once per round, or sorry, at the start of a friendly turn, one enemy in line of sight and long range becomes vulnerable. Now, I know a lot of people are going to gravitate toward the Outrider Co. here. in the fact like, oh, I can throw out a vulnerable whenever I need to. And that is super nice to do because you can theoretically do it in prolonged combats. If you're engaging the same enemy, you can throw it down on them because it does need to be in line of sight. So you're engaged, you're probably only going to be in line of sight of one unit. But something to consider is that with all the generic tactics cards that you have, they're going to give you additional charging benefits. You are going to be able to make a lot of use of Shattering Assault multiple times per round if you set it up properly. So this is something to consider, is that while the Outrider Co. technically has more flexibility in how you are going to utilize it by throwing down that vulnerable at the start of any friendly turn, it's still only going to be once per round. The Screamer Co. is going to be able to be used much more often when you combine it with cards like Overrun, Hit and Run, Swift Retreat, Fury of the Dragon. You have four of your seven cards in your base deck are going to give you additional maneuvers. They're going to allow you to set up the additional ability to get that effect off. So that's something I want people to take into consideration when you are factoring in what attachment you want to stick in with your Screamers, is that I think a lot of people are gravitating toward the Co. initially because it's, oh yes, it has more flexibility and it's an easier option. And that is true. But with the Screamer Co., you're going to potentially have much more uses for it throughout the overall game. So it's a matter of if you want that, kind of early tactical advantage to throw down where you want, or if you want something that's going to potentially give you a higher payoff via continued use. So that's your factor in which one you want to throw in there. The Dothraki Outriders. So here we have a Speed 6 Cavalry that has no melee attack, has the Dothraki Shortbow at a 7-5 profile, 3 plus to hit short range, 6 plus defense, 6 plus morale, cavalry, short range on the bow, and then the Nimble special ability. When making ranged attacks, this unit may shift 3 inches instead of the normal 2. After the attack has been completed, this unit may then shift an additional 3 inches. So here's something, a unit that I think really exemplifies the seeing it on paper and seeing it on the tabletop mentalities. It's funny, you can kind of identify someone who has actually played these guys versus someone who has just talked about them. And it's almost the same thing if you go back and look at the Ranger trackers from the Night's Watch. And people get really hung up on short range. The thing is that you have short range here on a Speed 6 Cavalry that also has Nimble. This unit theoretically actually has one of the highest threat ranges of any unit in the game. So you have a Speed 6 Cavalry. They're going to be able to get their free cavalry maneuver at the start of the activation. So they're going to move 6 inches. Then they have Nimble. Whenever they make a range attack, they're going to shift 3 inches. Then they're going to make a 6-inch short range attack. Then they're going to shift another 3 inches. So just baseline on this unit alone here, if you just wanted to get up and attack something, you have a 15-inch threat range on that unit. That's to get yourself into a position and shoot them. And then afterwards, you have 3 inches to reposition yourself as you need to. So this is a huge threat range as far as the threat ranges in the game are concerned. And this unit should never have an excuse to not shoot, be shooting into something's flanks, okay? There should always be some target out there that you can hit them in the flank. Okay, it might not be the target you want, and yes, you might have to take some front shots if you have a very specific unit that you're wanting to actually kill, but otherwise, these guys should be harassing the ever-loving hell out of anything they're against. And if these guys see combat, then something has gone terribly wrong in your plan, or you have made some kind of horrendous mistake. But the thing is, even so, even if you have done something wrong, you still have so many cards in your baseline tactics deck. Again, I'm going to keep going back to Fury of the Dragon, Swift Retreat. These are all cards that are going to help you get out of bad situations if you've managed to find themselves in them. But even then, these guys are 6 points. Would I spam them in an army? No, absolutely not. These are a supplemental unit. But the thing is that they are a unit that if your opponent has to dedicate almost any resources to getting rid of, that's a worthy investment on your time because you've devoted 6 points to them. Even if you take the extra little points here and add an Outrider Co. into them, which is the attachment I would take, never put a Screamer Co. in these guys because obviously they can't utilize it. That's a harassing unit that your opponent is going to either have to do something about, and if they ignore, it's going to be a problem for them over the entire course of the game. A 7-point Dothraki Outrider unit with a Outrider Co. is throwing down vulnerable on whatever target you need dead, and then just harassing it from the flanks. And this is just, and it can do it from relative safety as well, because again, you have a 6-inch short bow. So if you're 6 inches away and shooting at the opponent, and then you're shifting back 3 inches, that's putting a 9-inch stop gap between you and a lot of other infantry options. Well, sorry, any options. It's just that infantry with baseline speed 5 means they have to roll 4+ to charge you, and that is if they decide they can even want to come after you, or if they even can. Because remember, you only charge what you can see, and these guys have the clearance to really get up into something's flank and just be completely out of line of sight, and just start hammering away at a unit. They're gonna have to spend a round to reposition themselves to even come after you guys, or send some unit dedicated to come after them. That's not an insubstantial, amount of resources to throw into them, especially when you're dealing with, a 6-point unit here. I mean, it's a matter of, cost and investment and return on this. And if you play these guys wrong, yeah, they're going to be terrible for you. No, they should never be in combat. No, they should be never even near a position where they should be able to be charged, unless you're willing to sacrifice them or you have some play to come in there. But frankly, if you're in that position, then I'm sorry, but you have misplayed these guys, and whatever happens, it's going to happen. Now, there's some situations you can't control, but that happens with anything. But frankly, these guys should be your outliers. They should be going around the flanks and just harassing the ever-loving hell out of the enemy. If your plan is like, well, these guys can't charge in and do stuff for me. Well, no, they can't. That's the entire point. So, that's if you want to do that, you need screamers. That's why they're different. But let's say you don't want something that's different. Let's say you just want everything in one package. Well, we have the Dothraki veterans for you. 10-point unit. Speed 6, Dothraki short bow, 7-5 attack profile, 3+ to hit, the Dothraki Arrankh, I still can never pronounce that correctly. 8-5, 3+ attack profile, no special abilities on either of those. 4+ defense, 5+ morale, cavalry rules, short range, and then charging volley. After this unit completes a ranged attack, the unit may make a free charge action against the targeted enemy. These guys have the potential to put out more attack dice and damage than almost any unit in the game, while also simultaneously being one of the fastest units in the game. These guys here do work, but they also need to, because they're a 10-point unit. They are not cheap. And this is it's a very high investment, but for a very high return unit. These guys, again, none of their attacks individually are really that impressive. But it's when you combine everything they have access to together that things start to get really scary. So you want to stick an attachment on these guys, and make them an 11-point unit. By all means, stick a Screamer Co. or an Outrider Co. on them. It's really going to be your call on which one you're going to throw in there. You got some other commander options that are fantastic in there, but again, I don't want to really get into those today. But these guys here just make such good use of, just everything that is embodies the Dothraki. With just such a huge attack profile, the potential to throw out 15 attack dice and 2 panic checks, across those attacks, these guys can really, really do some work. And you combine that with all the cards that you have access to, it can be really scary. One little combo to talk about these guys with that I because everything I said that applies to the Outriders and the Screamers applies to these guys because they can do both of those roles. But there is one little trick of these guys that I actually do like doing that I think a lot of people kind of overlook is so let's say these guys get a melee attack in. A lot of times you're going to want to like, okay, I'm going to do my charging volley and just immediately use that. I'm going to make a ranged attack, charge in, get those dice in. If you feel that you are attacking a unit that you can actually kill on the charge and without using your ranged attack, that might be something to consider holding off on to be able to charge in and just kill a unit. And then being able to kind of springboard yourself deeper into the enemy lines, and you can kind of do this with hit and run, but that's a commander-specific card. But anyway, charge in, kill the unit. You're now unengaged. You get your surge fourth maneuver. Let's say then later in the round you activate the combat zone or some other effect that gives them a free attack. You trigger that ranged attack, and now you can actually do your ranged attack and charge into a secondary unit. My point in bringing that up is you need to be able to read the field And again, we're getting back to the positioning aspect. So many people are just going to default to, I can make this ranged attack, so I'm just going to make the ranged attack. But you really need to read the situation. If you need that ranged attack to get the extra damage in, to actually finish off a unit that you're charging, like say you're charging a fresh unit or something, then by all means use it. But if they've got a unit that has already been kind of whittled down, that the charge can probably already kill, and you're fairly confident in your ability to do so, keep in mind that there are plenty of ways to cause like this little springboard effect to these guys that you can really push deep into the enemy ranks later on if you position things. This is kind of circling back to the whole thing I was talking about the tactics cards, sort of when I said like, hey, can I wait around? This is a little kind of baby step of that of, hey, can I wait a couple turns, or what happens in a couple turns? You should always be thinking a couple turns ahead anyway. Even though things can change rather drastically from turn to turn, but you can create that same problem for the opponent. You know, if you have a unit of veterans just deep in their back ranks and everything that now none other units have line of sight to that can just do as they please, that's a big problem that they're going to have to deal with. So I feel that a lot of the Targaryens, one of the playstyle mentalities that you can adapt is how can I create problems for my opponent that they are not going to want to deal with? Ideally, any problem you make should be one that your opponent doesn't want to deal with. But you can kind of double down on that fact a lot with the Targaryens. Let's go to the new unit that was recently came out this month, and that is the Unsullied Swordmasters. We're looking at another expensive unit here at 9 points, speed 6, defense and morale of 4+. On their attack profile, we have a 2+ to hit with a 10-7-6 profile with precision. They also have the unyielding ability, which is the unit may never gain condition tokens. These guys are your speed and offense just hammers damage dealers, okay? The one thing to consider with these guys though is that a 4+ defense is strictly average. The morale is fantastic, but these guys are not immune to death. And a lot of people forget that because they really laser focus in on that, you know, super impressive profile. Just, you know, 10-7-6 with a 2+. We've never seen anything that good before. And you've built in precision with that. You know, hell yes, of course I want these guys. But frankly, to me, the biggest thing about them is that speed 6. That is really something there to focus on because, again, that's going to help you position these guys. That's going to help you make such good use of the generic tactics cards. For the same reasons I was talking about with all the cavalry options you have, like that speed 6 is such an underrated stat that, you know, you really need to focus on that. Beyond that, you have a stupid good attack profile. I mean, I don't really know what to say there. I mean, it's just good, okay? These guys here are also a great attachment bunker. The thing is, they're already very expensive. So you have to kind of, you know, think about what am I really gaining as far as an attachment goes. One of the options that you have that is unique to House Targaryen is the Unsullied Officer. This is a 3-point attachment that effectively gives the unit an additional activation, okay, an additional attack action. I misspoke there and almost broke one of my cardinal rules because I wanted to say pseudo activation, but I don't even like saying things like that because it is not correct, okay? I'm a very big stickler for proper game terms. Go figure. They have the order Relentless. At the start of a friendly turn, instead of activating unit, this unit will make one free attack action. Number one thing I have to like hammer into people is there's a difference between activations and actions, okay? You can take a number of free actions throughout the entire round and have different things that cause actions. You only have one activation per unit, unless something specifically is doing otherwise. I'm not going to get into that. Point is that there's a difference between when something's activating and when it is performing an action. Okay? Say it with me again, class. There's a difference between something activating and something performing an action. In the case of the Unsullied Officer here, this gives the unit a free attack action essentially once per round. Same effect as the combat zone for the tactics board or some other tactics card specifically. This makes that 9-point investment up to a 12-point investment, but it makes it a little easier to swallow because effectively you're getting 2 actions out of this unit per round. Whatever action it's taking during its normal activation, and then the extra bonus action, attack action that this one is taking. with the Swordmasters, and again, any unit that is really this expensive, it comes down to, you know, activation counts versus, you know, the value of the unit. If you take like 4 10-point units, yes, they're all very powerful, but you have 4 activations in your army, and that can be really tough to deal with. The Unsullied Officer is going to be one of the first options that you're going to see to kind of work around that, and he does it fantastic. And it's just a general good attachment, so it really makes like the 12-point investment here a lot easier to kind of deal with. Because 12 points, I mean, that you've got to take down 12 points worth of units to get your points back. That's 2 6-point units. So, you know, you've got to evaluate, you know, okay, would this unit be worth 2 Dothraki Screamers? Is it worth a Dothraki Screamer and an Outrider? Is it worth, you know, 2 Stormcrow Mercenary units plus 3-4 points worth of attachments attached to those guys? You know, there's a lot of things that you can get for 12 points. But at least in this situation here, you're getting a unit that's getting 2 actions. At 9 points base, the Unsullied Swordmasters, if you don't want to stick any attachment with them, is still a fantastic unit. Super scary. You know, it's good at going and making stuff dead. The thing is you don't want to go with this unit is that they do only have a 4+ defense, which I said before is strictly average. They don't have any really amazing staying power compared to other units, and you're going to have other units in your army that are dedicated to that role. These guys are not necessarily objective holders, but they can be. They're just not the best in the world. These guys are really more of a threat and really more scary to anything that comes near them. Now, if you're looking for other attachments to stick in them, you've got some options from the neutral categories, depending on really what you want to do. Just to go over some like quick ones that you would potentially consider. Dario Naharez in his commander version is a decent option because you'll get +1. He'll get his loyalty to coin ability. Dario as a commander has a focus on the wealth zone, which is going to give you as playing him in House Targaryen, a focus on maneuver and wealth. But he is going to give you loyalty through coin, which is +1 to defense saves. You never suffer penalties to morale, which you usually aren't anyway, due to not being able to gain panic tokens, but this will save you from things like vicious. But really it's that +1 defense save, and he's a free commander, so you can stick him in there without feeling too bad about it. Vargo Hote is another option you can stick in there. He is going to actually up your defensive capabilities in here as a commander, because he is going to give you the ability to throw down weakened, which is going to exceptionally make these guys a little bit more sustained. There are other Targaryen units though that I would rather stick him in. His attachment version though, however, even though it is 3 points, that is something to consider throwing in there, because he's going to give you kind of the defensive capabilities there through weaken resolve, where if an enemy engaged with the unit fails a panic test, they become weakened. But he also gives the unit built-in vicious, so that means your Unsullied unit, still clocking at 12 points, is going to at least be able to target enemy morale and gain a little bit of extra survivability through weaken resolve. Still, between that and the Unsullied Officer, it just really depends on what you're looking for in a unit. Beyond that, you have the Dario Naharez. He has his attachment version as well, which is going to give you Reckless Strikes, which is going to give you some additional attack dice. And the problem is, though, is that he is going to double down on giving your unit effectively precision, because his other effect does the same thing. Here, you're going to be throwing down between 12 to 8 attack dice, even at the last rank. It's a big investment. It's not necessarily the one that I would do, but if you want to make something absolutely dead, this is one of the few units here that can just straight up roll 12 attack dice and, you know, potentially wipe out a unit just on that alone without having to rely on any type of panic. Bronn the Sellsword is actually one of my favorite attachments to stick into the Unsullied outside of their an Unsullied Officer, which is still really one of my go-tos if you have the 3 points. But for 2 points, you've got Bronn, who, while you control wealth, again, plays very well into a Dario Naharez commander. You're going to get +1 movement, bringing these guys up to speed 7, the +2 attack dice, and the +2 to morale test rolls, meaning they're effectively almost going to be immune to ever failing panic, because they'll be rolling needing a 4+ with a +2 to their roll. You know, it's stupid good. Brienne of Tarth is another option you can look at with her Knightly Vow ability. And Stalwart's going to, again, double down on their morale, giving them effectively a 2+, which is just stupid good for, the investment. Knightly Vow is going to make them just doubly murder a very specific unit. The only thing is that, again, you're kind of wasting a small part of that effect. You're rolling plus two dice against that unit, and you're gaining plus one to hit, but they already hit on two plus, so you're not really going to get too much of that. One of the things that I actually like sticking into the Unsullied Swordmasters that would be one of my high picks if I wasn't considering an officer, and I'm not saying the officer is always the default one because there's other options, but an overlooked thing is actually Roose Bolton, the Leech Lord, the 2-point Roose Bolton attachment. He's going to give you Ferocious Assault, so enemies you charge become panicked, and he's also going to give you Prey on Fear, where each time an engaged enemy fails a panic test, the unit can restore up to 2 wounds. Think about all of the elements that I've talked about so far. Let's all wrap this together. You have so many options that are going to allow you to get charges in that you're really going to be able to throw down a lot of panic tokens with him when you're charging guys. And he's going to give you additional sustain in the unit through that Prey on Fear effect. The Unsullied, are deadly throughout their entire cycle. So, you can't, really reduce them down to one rank and say, oh, these guys aren't going to be a threat to me anymore. They're always going to be a problem. And with Roose, he's going to give you that extra little bit of healing to just really stay in the fight. And he's actually one of my top picks for if I'm going to be running an attachment in the Unsullied. Another option is going to coming back to the, if you want even cheaper there, you have the Bolton Flare, which is kind of like a little mini Roose. But I think for the extra effects that Roose is bringing, he's worth that extra point over a Flare. Another option is going to be a Stormcrow Lieutenant. This I would run more if I was running like a heavy, like Dario Naharez secondary commander style list, because again, you're going to be focusing on that wealth zone. But the Stormcrow Lieutenant's going to give you improved armaments, where while you control the wealth, you're getting plus one attack die and sundering. When you're throwing down that many attacks, getting the extra die and sundering is just a natural match there. So it's a good cheap investment here. When we look at other options, you have the Dreadfort Captain, I believe is the only one that I haven't talked about. The Dreadfort Captain is nice, but the thing is that outside of very specific builds and some play styles that are not out there right now, the Targaryens don't really care too much about panic. So spreading that around is not really going to help you too terribly much. So he's just not going to really give you enough benefit currently with your available roster or ones that you're going to see for a bit of time. Not to say that he won't, have his place in House Targaryen at some point in the future, but just anyway, just right now, he's kind of like, there's so many other options I would take over him when I'm talking about Unsullied. We would talk about more units, but infantry units, but that's really it for the core House Targaryen ones. And since I've already spoken this long about the units in the army as a whole, I believe we're going to wrap things up here. I'm going to do a separate podcast talking about the incorporation of neutrals into House Targaryen forces as a whole, because as I said, more than a lot of other factions, they really tie into using neutrals, not just limited to the Stormcrows, but a few others. But the Stormcrows are definitely have their place in House Targaryen and the overarching playstyle. So I'm going to save a lot of that talk for that specific podcast. So we'll break this kind of into a general wrap-up of three factors when we're talking about House Targaryen. We've talked about the generic tactics cards today. We talked about the core units that are currently available to them. Next time, we will talk about their NCUs and their character attachments and commanders. And then we will talk about incorporating neutrals into the faction as a whole. So that is going to be it for today. Thank you for listening to this episode that turned out to be a lot longer than I thought it was, but hell, it's a faction recap, so we can go ahead and do that. And hope you guys enjoyed it. We will talk to you guys next time. Take care until then. Stay home, stay safe, practice your social distancing, and remember, never engage Dothraki on an open field.